will of the Lord. And as they say, the poor you have with you, talking about myself a little longer. And leave earnestly in the will of the Lord. On Tuesday, we shared with you under the theme, Equipping God's Young People to Make a Difference. Who's responsible? And we talked about the parental responsibility, showing how that Timothy was under the influence of his grandmother and Mother Lois, and how because of their dedication that they communicated their faith to this young man by precept. It said in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from a child he had known the scriptures. And so we emphasize that they taught him the word of God. As parents, was their responsibility by precept to teach him the word of God, and was able to alert him to his need of salvation, and that need could only be realized in the person of Jesus Christ. And so they taught him by precept, but they also taught him by practice. We talked about the fact that their genuine faith that dwelt in them was not an occasional visitor, but they lived out their faith, and he saw this in them. And as a result, Paul says, I am convinced that it is in you as well. And so if we are going to equip our children to make a difference for Christ, as parents, we must see it as our primary responsibility, not the government, not all the social agencies, not the church. It is our primary responsibility of parents to prepare our children. And we do that by giving them and teaching them the word of God, and also living in a way that they can see Christ in us. And then we emphasize the presbytery responsibility. That is the council of elders, of shepherds. It is their responsibility as well. And as we note that the Timothy in Acts chapter 16, when Paul passed through, because these men worked with Timothy, because they knew him and they saw his upbringing and saw him grow in Christ and had influence in his life, they were not only able to commend him to the work, but also to recommend him to the apostle Paul as a co-worker and a laborer. And so we challenge the leaders of this local assembly in our own hearts about the fact of the importance of the presbytery, the elders and the leaders, of their importance of teaching and making sure that the young people of this assembly, on any leader of any assembly, responsibility, even if they don't do it themselves, that they make sure that it's done, and that the young people are being equipped, being taught from the word of God. And so tonight we want to look at the personal responsibility of the individual. We want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for reading of a few verses, and then we will go to 2 Timothy as well. The personal responsibility of the individual to equip his or herself, him or herself, to make a difference for Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, and Paul is writing this to a young minister, but we want to make the application to young people this evening, to your heart and to my heart. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, be thou a pattern, he's saying to Timothy, of the believer in word, in conversation or conduct, in charity, in your attitude and spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hand of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. And then chapter 2, verse 15, very familiar verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then chapter 3, verse 15, would be quoted a part of, says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm sure the Lord has a blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Let me pray. Father, bless your word to our hearts. May our ears be open, O Lord, and our hearts be receptive to receive your word. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Equipping God's young people to make a difference. Who is responsible? Primarily, there's the parental responsibility, as we said. There's the presbytery, the leaders of the church responsibility. But there is a personal responsibility on the part of the individual. And the part, in particular, as we're talking about young people, it is your responsibility to begin to equip yourself that you might make a difference for Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of talk in our nation today about our youth. And there's responsibility being placed at the feet of the parent, which is rightly so. And then they're talking about the government and the church. But in the midst of all of this, hardly any mention is made of the responsibility of the individual in our nation. And even as we come to the church, if you, as an individual, as a young person, if you want to make a difference for Jesus Christ, it is your personal responsibility to equip yourself. And so, it begins with the recognizing of your need for Jesus Christ. If you're going to make a difference for Jesus, you need to know Jesus in a personal way. And Timothy knew. He knew the scriptures from a child. But the scriptures brought him face to face with his sin. The scriptures brought him face to face that he needed the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And that only through Christ can he be born again. Can he have a new life. And so maybe you are here as a youngster, as a teenager. You grew up in the Sunday school. You know the verses. You know the choruses. But have they brought you to Jesus Christ? Do you know him as Savior and Lord? Have you recognized the fact that you are a sinner, that you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity? And so, if you're going to make a difference for Christ, you have to be different first of all. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says, if any man, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so, that's where it has to begin. If you want to make a difference for Christ, you must allow Jesus Christ to make you different, to change you, to give you his life. And that's where it begins. And so if you haven't done that, I want to challenge you this evening to do that, to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again of his spirit, to be cleansed from all of your sins and come to know him as your Savior. But there's a second thing. After that has happened, and many of you, if not all of you here, young people, have done that, and have known Christ as your Savior for some time. But in order for you to make a difference, in a few of the readings that I read, you would note, Paul talks about the fact of the gift that Timothy, the elders them, not only commended him, but they also recognized that Timothy was gifted by God. And I believe if you and I are going to make a difference, if you're going to make a difference as a young person, you must recognize the fact that God has given you a spiritual gift. And you cannot impact the world. You cannot reach the world. You cannot affect this community or wherever God places you without recognizing that you have a spiritual gift from God and that you are using it for the glory of God. One of the reasons why I believe that people, but in particular, we're looking at young people, are not making a difference for Jesus Christ, it's because many of them don't know what their gifts are. And Paul talks about that, about Timothy. Timothy, the gift. He had a gift. He had a spiritual gift. There are those who believe that he had a pastoral gift, that Timothy had a gift of evangelism or teaching and all these different things. But whatever, Timothy had a gift. Timothy had a gift. And my friend, if you are going to make a difference for Jesus Christ, you must know what your gift is, and then you must exercise that gift. But the question invariably comes back, and for many Christians, young and old, what is my gift? And how can I know what my gift is? And I want to just throw a few things at you. Maybe you are struggling, and maybe you're having this, you don't know what your gift is, and maybe you want to know. There are a few things I want to suggest to you. First of all, inform yourself about the total packages of spiritual gifts that are found in the scriptures. Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4 verses 10 and 11 talks about spiritual gifts. And as you read those gifts, as you look at them, evaluate yourself in the light of those gifts. And maybe God, maybe as you do that, the Spirit of God would say, this one is for you, or that one, or these two. And as you do that, as you evaluate yourself in the light of all these gifts, maybe God would point one out to you. Secondly, be active in the work of the Lord. I remember many years ago, I don't even know, Brother Frank would remember. He came to Freeport to speak for a weekend. And I remember him saying this very, very pointedly to us as young people. He said, God never called anyone who wasn't doing anything. Who was lazy. They were busy. They were active in the work of the Lord. And I always remembered that. And that motivated me. That motivated me. Be active in the work of the Lord. Before Philip was an evangelist, Philip was one of the seven serving and ministering to the people of God. And so Philip didn't start off being an evangelist. But as he got involved in the work of God, his gift developed. And so if you want to know what your gift is, my friend, you have to be active in the work of God. Be involved. That's how you make a difference. Don't not be satisfied to come to church, hear the hymns singing and that, then go back home. Be involved in the ministry of God. Wherever God, and whatever you can do, be involved. And as you are working for the Lord, you might discover what your spiritual gift is. Or God might reveal it to you by divine revelation. That's what happened to Timothy. By divine revelation, it was revealed to him. In your heart, God might just speak to you and let you know what your gift is. But for many of us thus far, that's not norm, usually the norm. That's not usually the norm, but he might do it. And then ask those you respect and are spiritually mature to evaluate you. Look at someone and say, brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so. Look at me. See what I've been doing. I'm busy for the Lord. Can you help me? What do you think I might be gifted in? And who knows, God might give them and show that to them, and they might be able to help you. But you see, you cannot make a difference, first of all, if you don't know Christ, and secondly, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Your spiritual gift. And in the area of a sphere, God has placed you. And there are many of God's people, young and old, who are in areas that God never intended them to be in. And as a result, since they are in another position, that means that they are out of position. And they might be in someone else's position. And so that causes friction. That causes problems. But you must know what your gift is. Recognize that God has given you a spiritual gift. And desire with all of your heart to ask God, what is my gift? Help me to fulfill that. Get involved in the work of God. And then, thirdly, do not neglect your gift. Paul says to Timothy, in verse 4 of 14 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, neglect not the gift. Neglect not the gift. Not to care for. A synonym means to overlook, to regard lightly. And say you know what your gift is, but yet you fail to use it for God. That can lead to a non-productive spiritual life. Like the servant who received one talent. The Bible says that he went and he hid it. He dug a hole and he hid it. And when the master came back, he brought it to him, and the master took that away from him and gave it to him who had doubled his production with his gift. It was taken away from what he had. And so sometimes when you and I fail to use our gifts and our talent, if we fail to use a limb, if we fail to use a hand, if we just hold it here in our bosom like this and don't use it, sooner or later, all of the muscles and everything else will just wither up and become tight. It is called atrophy. And so for many Christians, because we fail to use our spiritual gift, we have spiritual atrophy. Spiritual atrophy. He says, neglect not the gift. If you want to make a difference, and if I want to make a difference with Jesus Christ, I must not neglect the spiritual gift that God has given to me. And as a young person, it's your personal responsibility to recognize God has given you a gift. And not to neglect that gift, but to use it. And then he says, in chapter 1 verse 6, he says, stir up the gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands, Paul says. Stir up means to fan into flame, to keep at full flame. In other words, be hot for the Lord. Be zealous for God. Be busy for the Lord. He says, stir it up. Fan it into flames. Be hot and zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be cold. Do not be indifferent. Be busy. In other words, so how can you and I stir up the gift? How can we keep it at full flames? He says, give attendance to reading chapter 4 of 1 Timothy 4 and 13. Give attendance to reading the Word of God. He says, be an exhorter by exhortation. In other words, he's talking again. He's talking to a young minister, but the application to you and to me to share our faith. He said, exhortation. Give yourself to exhortation. He said, give yourself to doctrine, acquainting yourself with the great truth of the scriptures. And many times, not only adults, but young people think that that's dull and boring. And as I said to the Sunday school class last Sunday, somehow we think a doctrine is not needed. But you and I cannot live the Christian life without doctrine. We need teaching the Word of God. And then he says in 1 Timothy 4 and 15, he says, meditate upon the things. 2 Timothy 2, 15, he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to stir up your gift? You want to keep it aflame? He says, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. Give attendance to doctrine. Getting into the Word of God. Study. And then he said, meditate, he says, upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Give yourself to these things. And he says, as a result of giving yourself to these things, he says, others will see the change in you. And not only that, he said, it will affect the lives of others. 2 Timothy 15, 16. You might save others. Other lives might be affected by your life. And you will be making a difference. And that's what Paul says to Timothy, this young minister. And it's the same thing, if you as a young person want to make a difference, it is your personal responsibility to begin to stir up the gift of God within you. The gift that God has given to you. And so as a result, as Paul encouraged Timothy, as Timothy's parents saw and took their personal responsibility serious, as the presbyters did that, Timothy became a faithful minister of God, whom the apostle Paul could commend and recommend to the people of God. Let's take a look at this young man's life. Verse 3 of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Look what Paul says and how Paul could rely upon this man. This young man. And how Timothy made a difference because he gave himself to the things of God. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul left Timothy behind. Paul could rely upon Timothy. Paul could trust Timothy. Paul said, I'm leaving you here so that you might stand in the gap to preserve the people of God from false teaching and false doctrine. A young man. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Paul had a desire to go back to Thessalonica. He was chased out of there. But when we come to chapter 3, verses 1, Paul couldn't take it anymore. He said, therefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish or to strengthen you and to comfort or to encourage you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul says, because he recognized the giftedness of Timothy, and Timothy knew his gift, and he recognized that this young man was prepared, and this young man, Paul says, I'm sending Timothy to help you, to be established, to comfort you. It's because Timothy prepared himself. And Paul himself recognized that. And finally, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also might be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded, listen to this, who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the thing which are of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he had served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, have to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul trusted Timothy, this young man, who took the responsibility of preparing himself in the things of Christ. As a result, he became a faithful minister of the gospel who was commended to Paul, and Paul in turn was able to commend him to others for the use of God. My friend, let me ask you, as a young person, are you taking this responsibility to prepare yourself? God requires that you be responsible for preparing yourself to be used by him. Timothy did. And I want to say again as I close to you, parents, and I want to say it in the words of Socrates, as he said to the people of Athens, he says, why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and to take so little care of your children, to whom one day you must relinquish all? Are you too busy as a parent to spend time with your kids? Whether in a social event, whether it's because of the job, or whether because of your involvement in the church, you're so busy as a parent that you are not taking your responsibility serious. Because one day, if Jesus be not come, the Lord Jesus be not come, the ministry of this assembly is going to be left in their hands. Going to be left in their hands. How are you preparing them for? How are you preparing them for? As leaders of this local church, how are you preparing our young men and women to carry on? To carry on. And as a young man, as a young woman, how are you preparing yourself as these, your parents and the other brethren move on? Are you prepared to step in and to fulfill the role for which God will call you? Are you preparing yourself? It's a personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. Are you taking that? Are you equipping yourself? Do you know what your gift is? And if you do, are you stirring it up within you? Or are you neglecting it? We pray God for that all of us, whether parents, whether leaders, or individuals, young people, We are taking responsibility for making ourselves ready that we might make the difference for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it's your desire to work with us finite man. All our limitations and our, oh Lord, our feebleness and our shortcomings. Yet, Lord, you, through your spirit, you have gifted us with various gifts. Help us, oh Lord, to yield ourselves totally to you, that we, O Lord, might be productive, that we might see fruit, that you might bring forth fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, and also souls. And so I pray for the young people of this assembly. Yeah, I pray for the young people of this island. That, Lord, that first of all, that they may know you as Savior and Lord, and that, the Lord, that they might serve you diligently with the gift or the gifts that you have given to them. May they step forward, Lord, in the power of your Spirit. And again, going forth in the name of Jesus. Conquering. Oh, Lord. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing one stanza of 581. I think of parents and of leaders, and of the young people in the Redemption Songbook. If we're going to make a difference, let's begin by surrendering our all to him. 581. And may God help us to do that tonight. To surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live.